Hear the 10th verse of the 61st chapter of Isaiah. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Fellow redeemed, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. When Jesus preached his first sermon in the synagogue at Nazareth, he was given the book of Isaiah, and he opened it and read the first verses of this 61st chapter. The Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then we are told by Luke, he sat down and began to preach. And he said, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears." Verse 10 of this same chapter goes along with that. A word about the Messiah, God's Son, the Anointed One. It is fulfilled in Jesus. The Lord about whom Isaiah speaks in this chapter is the one that Isaiah had described earlier in the 9th chapter when he said, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." He is the one who preached that day at Nazareth. Isaiah 61 speaks of the Messiah and the Church of God. The Church of God, those who believe in the Messiah, the Christ, the Church, Israel, God's holy people, is described as a bride who is clothed in magnificent garments and goes to meet the bridegroom. The Lord my God will clothe me with the garments of salvation and the robe of righteousness. Now, what does it mean here to be clothed with the garments of salvation or to be covered with the robe of righteousness? Martin Luther in several places uses that biblical image of the bride and the bridegroom, and it has come to be called the Great Exchange. The church is the bride, and Christ is the groom. Marriage is a union of two people, but what belongs to each of them in marriage becomes the possession of both together. So the groom's possessions are also the bride's, and what she has becomes also his. Well, if Christ is the bridegroom, what does he have to give to his bride? Well, he has his sonship to the Father. He has a perfect, spotless righteousness. He has an eternal nature. He has pure love and sacrificial obedience. Then what do I have that can become his? Well, I have quite a lot. My sin, all of my guilt, my corruption, my mortality. And this, of course, is spoken of in several Bible passages. St. Paul writes to the Corinthians, "God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us." About baptism, Paul writes, "As many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on," that is, have been clothed with Christ. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. And those words also from Isaiah, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So that's the great gift that we have to give to him. But what we have received from him is the righteousness of salvation. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Jeremiah in the Old Testament calls the Messiah the Lord, our righteousness. St. Paul writes, by one man's obedience, many will be accounted righteous. And also, all things are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. And now, of course, you remember that wonderful summary of the gospel. You who are sinners are saints. Simul justus et peccator. To the world, I am as corrupt as any other. But in God's sight, I am a righteous, perfect, holy, spotless saint. That I am a saint, I have from God by grace through faith. He has given me this gift out of his grace freely, without any goodness, without any merit to be found in me. He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. That righteousness is the perfect obedience of God's Son. Let Martin Luther describe this great truth and this wonderful image for us. Hear this rich and divine bridegroom, Christ, marries this poor, wicked harlot, redeems her from all her evil, and adorns her with all his goodness. Her sins cannot now destroy her, since they are laid upon Christ and swallowed up by him. And she has that righteousness in Christ, her husband, of which she may boast as of her own, and which she can confidently display alongside her sins in the face of death and hell, and say, if I have sinned, yet my Christ, in whom I believe, has not sinned, and all his is mine, and all mine is his. So far, Luther. Now, at the end of the church year, we sing of the bridegroom in the great King of Chorales. Wake, awake, for night is flying. The bridegroom comes, awake. Arise, your lamps now take. We enter all the marriage hall to eat the supper at your call. We are invited to that marriage feast exactly for that. As his bride, we wear what we have from him, his garments of salvation, and his robe of righteousness. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, send forth your Son, we pray, that he may lead home his bride, the church, that we, with all your saints, may enter into your eternal kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.
bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.